One, if you saw Vrindavan, definitely, without any questions, the Atifa, the greatest amount of team and the mitzvah of Tefillah and Yiras Shamayim, and it's Rabbi Kozansky, who is dedicated to being Marvitz Mitzvos and Torah and Yiras Shamayim to communities and to bring them closer to Hashem. And of course, remember from last year. And so, without any further ado, as the expression goes, Rabbi Kozansky.
All right. Aleichem Shalom. How are you?
How are
nice
you?
To see you. Thank you very well. All right, Bershus, Rabbi Chait, UDD, Rav Ginsburg. If you could hand these out, it's nice to be back at Migdal. This one aside. Nice to be back at Migdal HaTorah. I hope you're all enjoying the year. All right, this is going to be an unusual shiur. In that I want you to listen, but I don't want you to obey a single word that I say. And the premise is, ultimately comes down to a methodology, really hashkafa. The shir is entitled Famous Leniencies, but maybe said a different way, singular opinions. Things that are not halacha l'masa, but nonetheless have a legitimate pedigree to them. Why they're not halacha l'maisa, we'll see in a little while. But personally, you know, I'm a rav of a shul in New Jersey, and I've been troubled by a phenomenon that has arisen. It's become increasingly common over the last few decades, especially the last decade, and really especially in the last year or so, 2 years or so. And that is the, on the left wing of orthodoxy, so to speak. And that is that in many cases, psak halacha that you find for individuals or groups has become the search for the one opinion that's found somewhere in the Gemara, in the Rishonim, or in the Acharonim that permits you to do what you want. That was the more obscure, the more ancient, the better it is. So I'm on record as saying, modern orthodoxy, never lets halacha get in the way of a good time. Maybe it's a little strong, but nonetheless, people are always able to find, you know, a loophole, or it doesn't apply to me, or there's an opinion, there's a shita, properly understood or misunderstood, it justifies what I want to do. And of course problematic, and I got involved about a half year in the controversy regarding girls wearing tefillin that took place in my area. It wasn't really that, it was more a question of, and I really dissected at the time, it was a question of how does the yeshiva or day school deal with non-Orthodox students in their midst? That really was the question. If someone's not Orthodox and they're accustomed to certain practice, so do you allow them to adhere to their family tradition, so to speak? But of course, that's not the Masorah. The Masorah does not operate by the vehicle of finding something that permits you to do what you do. That's not how normative psak is made. So if a person only wants to rely on the opinion of one particular gadol, Achron, Rishon, whatever it is, to permit something, which in the Tilin case they did, and other cases you find they do as well, then we have a lot to choose from. But we'll see at the end that despite the fact that this is gaining popularity in Jewish life, that's not really how we decide halacha, lamasa, doesn't decide how we're supposed to live, and ultimately really corrupts or distorts what halacha is. Psak, mesorahs, based more or less on consensus, and if there's sometimes a chumrah, machmer yachmer latzmo, and there's a kula, it's properly handled privately in a particular case. If there's an exigency, shasat chak, one can rely on it, but not to make it normative. So it's interesting, the first case I chose was what you were discussing right now, the chavur that was just given, and we'll start with number one. The Mechaber says, also lelech bekoma skufo, a person can't walk completely upright, which is a sign of arrogance. Velo yelech dalet amos begilui harosh mipnei kovar hashchina. A person can't walk four amos with an uncovered head. Gilui shchina, it's the Gemara Kiddushin, daf lamed aleph, amed aleph, Rav Huna, always covered his head, he would say, Shechina l'mala me'roshi. The Shechina is above me. So where Yamakanov was discussing in the Atifa Sarosh, because man's crown is his intellect, so therefore we cover our heads as a sign that there's an intellect, there's a source of wisdom that's greater than us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so we always have to subject our intellects to the greater intellect, the Chachmas Ho'elyon. And Mishnah Berurah adds here, Siman Beis, V'chol Shkein, you certainly can't make brachos with an uncovered head. V'adin limod begili rosh, you can't learn Torah with an uncovered head either. V'lo mahani bazek kisui hayad de yad v'rosh chad gufa inun. And it doesn't help to cover your head with your hand because your hand and your head are part of the same body. So Mishra goes on to discuss the summer mekel b'shas adchak that if you want to take a drink at night, you don't have your hat available. Then it might be enough to cover your head with your hand. But otherwise you can't, and that's why we use our sleeve. Like, for example, I was davening before, I was mincha this afternoon, it was the kotel, and had a short sleeve shirt on. So how do you cover yourself for tachanun, nefilas apayim? So I took my hat off and covered my arm, and then put my, because you can't cover your head with your arm. It's all part of the same body. All right, this is all well known. That's why we wear yarmulke. That's the din of atif and tefillah extended, even covering your head outside. Look at the marshal. It's in his shut, Siman Ayin Beis. By coincidence, today's the marshal's yard site. Marshal Shlomo Luria was one of the great Rosh Yeshiva in Poland in the 16th century. Rav of Lublin for many years. Died today, Yud Beis Kislev in 1573, it's 441 years since he died. Sheila, Lemisha Rosha Kaved, She Yeshla Heter Leshev Lecho Begili Rosh. Question is, someone has a headache and they want to eat. Do they have to cover their heads when they're eating? So Marshal said, Tshuva, Ein Ani Yodea Isser Levarch Belo Kisli Rosh. I don't know what the Isser is. Whatever you discussed before is the famous sheet of the Marshal. I don't know what the Isser is to say a brach or that your head covered. U'maharai pashut lo she'osu be'askar Hashem b'lo kisli rosh. The Maharai, that's Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin, lived about a century before the Marshal, one of the great poskim of Ashkenaz, wrote the Trumas HaDeshen. See, he wrote in the Trumas HaDeshen that you're not allowed to say Shem Hashem b'lo kisli rosh. And the Marshal says, v'li adanam imai. I don't know where he got that from. He said he found Masechah Sofrim as a machlokes, whether a pocheach, someone whose garments are torn or his knees are exposed, he's wearing shorts, or someone with Gili Rosh, can be Paris ala Shema. It's a shortened version of Shema Shemonesri that people say. And then there's an opinion there that Rosh Magul, you can't say that Azkara, but it's one opinion, Masechah Sofrim. For Ben Yerucham Kasa Besof Nativ Tezayin, another one of the Rishonim, she also levarich begili harosh. He said, "Also, it's also also to say, velule she eineni rogel lachol kala kadmonim. He loves she's gadol she is sayeni hayisi note lahakel ulevarich begili harosh vafilikers kriyash mashari." He said, "But for the fact he doesn't want to start up with the Rishonim, he himself was not much after the period of Rishonim. He died, as I said, in mid 16th century." He would say there's no Isser, even to say Kriyashma Begili Rosh. Because where do you find in the Gemara such an Isser is articulated? Umimidas Chasidus Hu Shaleach Dalet Amos Begili HaRosh V'Davka Halicha Dalet Amos. And it's Umimidas Chasidus, as we learned before, not to walk Dalet Amos Begili HaRosh, but that means walking, not sitting. And even later in the Tshuva, even clarifies it even more, and it's a famous kul of the Marshal, that the whole Midas Chassidus is only outdoors, Tachas HaShemayim. But indoors is no obligation at all. It's not even Midas Chassidus indoors. That's the Marshal. He was quite the pious person. That's what he said. Now look in the continuation, number 4. He's Mikol Mokom, Nir Beinai, Av Shein Isu B'Dovar, V'Av L'Midas Chassidus, Kishein Amaskar Hashem, Mikol Mokom L'Tamachachom, Yesh L'Izor Me'ach HaShem, Tovsim Bo L'Kalos U'L'Pritzos. Keilu over Adas Yehudis. Even though there's no Isser, and not even Midas Chassidus, if he's not mentioning the Shem Hashem, a Talmud Chacham shouldn't do it. because it's become so ingrained in Jews to cover heads with a yarmulke or a hat, he'll be perceived as one who's over al das yehudas, meaning he's not following minhag Yisrael. Afil lo me bechedra in lismach al ze. Even to learn alone in your room, privately, you can't rely on this. Less than amaret see you. Ve'yekal bo, and then he'll come to trivialize him. Lo bechinam omru kol she'os m'mar sa'ayin afil bechadre chador masur. That's what Chazal said, whatever's forbidden because of mar sa'ayin, even in the private room, a room within a room where nobody can see you, it doesn't matter, it's all the same. V'achshavani, he has a very interesting point. Achshavani agalas klon ashkenazim. Now I'll reveal the shame of the Ashkenazim. And this is a person who eats yayin, who drinks yayin nesach in a hotel of non-Jews. And he eats fish that's cooked in non-Jewish, non-kosher kelim. V'hamachmer hu shemamin lepunda kishal bishluba. And the machmer, the one who's considered stringent, is the one who says, I make sure that nothing treif was actually cooked at the same time, so no one will say anything. Notice he's drinking Yayin Nesach, he's eating Bishul Akum, Ein Bot Kenacharov. No one will say anything, think anything. V'nogim Bokavot, Imhu Ashir, V'takiv. If he's wealthy, if he's powerful, people will honor him. Because here's a pious Jew, notwithstanding the way he's trivializing Kashrus, who's machmer like that? Umi Shehoya Ocha V'shosa Behechshar. But if a person eats kosher, he's makbid on kashrus, but he do it without wearing something on his head, we think the person is not a Jew. He's a rebel. He's a heretic. So how can it be? Someone who's over actually surim, like Bishul Akum, like Yayin Nesach, it means Stam Yenam here. He's over actually surim derabanan. People don't think anything of it. But if he would sit and be makbid on kashrus, but not wear a yarmulke, then we think he's not orthodox anymore. How could it be? Anyway, so here you have the famous sheet of the Marshal. Does anybody hold like this? No. Question.
No, I was going to say, he's not saying don't even think about not wearing a yarmulke. He's just saying that people make the mistake of focusing too much on...
Well, what he's doing is setting priorities. In other words, he's establishing halachic priorities. Correct.
Right, Allah, he says, now you can't rely on. Why can't you rely on it? Because of minhag Yisrael.
He didn't say that.
He says
no minhag at all. The am is tofes, right. People do it, but doesn't make it minhag. Right. Of course, you shouldn't think that there's no minhag. Right, but that's the mistake that he's making. Amr is making a mistake. It's not real. Yes.
So I don't want to be quite wrong, but I'm pretty sure... one time someone, like, they're talking about Akiva, and not exactly on the topic of Tiva Sorosh, but on the topic of, like, does Akiva have any significance?
Right.
So
and
like,
he said?
In the middle of Dom Shiri took out his Akiva, threw it across the room, and continued learning.
Enough I want to paskin from a vignette, but nonetheless, it happens to be true in Rav Sham Shemfrel Hirsch's yeshiva in Frankfurt. The boy sat with a yarmulke during Limudei Kodesh, but not Limudei Chol. When they had the secular size, they took it off. There's no reason to wear it. Indoors, Marshal, wasn't the minhag in Germany anyway. But again, all this is not part of our world. My point is, if you want to find such a shita, it's there. All right. Look at the bottom. Rav Ema Cohen is the Rosh Hashiva in Otniel. He wrote last year discussing this area, and he said the Mishnah Berurah summarized the Machlokas from like the Taz. The Taz says the minhag became more extant in the Jewish people as a reaction to Christianity. Christians go bareheaded generally, even in their holy places. Rav Nevinsol writes, commenting on the Mishnah Berurah, Kasher magamai leheraot kimi she'eino shomer tor mitzvot, zeh isur gamur. If a person does not want to wear a yarmulke in order to show that he's not a shomer tor mitzvot, so then of course it's usher to do. Let's see, kum we paskin that saying brachos, saying Hashem Hashem, is a asur min adin, like Rabbeinu Yerucham held, regarding walking, so we'll say that's a midas chasidus. Afal bram, afal pichein, Nonetheless, extant across the Jewish world, we would say a person walks outdoors, even sits indoors for that matter, bareheaded, he's motzis atzman aklal. Now Rav Harema Cohen added, there's now social acceptance. There are norms of Jewish life. One of the norms of Jewish life is a person who wants to accept the yoke of God's kingship covers his head. That's how we look at the world. That's how we walk. So rotsim lelechem lo kisli rosh, the person wants to walk bareheaded to demonstrate, to show everyone he's not mekabel olmachus shemayim. Darkom pigumo min hashoresh, so his way is flawed from the source, and it means he's basically irresponsible. And mikra din, it's a usur according to the Taz. My point is this. I walked in towards the end of the Chavura, but there you're talking Atifa during Tefillah. But if a person wanted, and this, you know, questions come up from kids all the time, sometimes adults also, says, I don't want to wear a yarmulke, show me where it says I have to wear one. All right? So you say, oh, Rav Huna, the Gemara Kiddushin. Yeah, but it's not, it says something that Rav Huna did. Rav Huna didn't make it mandatory on everyone. It's not like Lo Signov, okay? That's a minig also I heard, Lo Signov. It's not like a lav in the Torah that you can't go bareheaded. But the question itself presupposes a terrible flaw in methodology, in understanding how the Mesorah operates, and understanding the expectations that exists on a Ben Torah. Not only just a Ben Torah, on any Jew who takes Torah seriously. It's not a free-for-all. Just can't pull a safer off the shelf and choose an opinion that that suits us. We'll see another example in a second. Yes.
Well, there are still kulos about not needing a head covering. Like, first, it's going to cause you a loss in your own business.
Look, the Mishnah Berurah himself quotes that. That's correct, but that's only based on the fact that ultimately it's a midas chasidus. But nonetheless, even there, you're not going to rely on the marshal. Marshal dismissed it altogether, basically. As saying it's not midas chasidus, it's not even a minig that we wouldn't hold, although the sheet exists. Yes.
Aren't there certain type of people out there who don't work kibbutz only when they eat?
Right, so that could be because the reason of the Taz did not apply to them. The Taz held it was chukos ha'akum not to wear a yarmulke, not to wear it, because that's the way the Christians did it, all right? But in the Arab countries, they generally do cover their heads with kafiyah. So therefore, the reason of the Taz was not appropriate for the Sephardic world. So therefore, they were not generally noheg that. Although, nonetheless, they did wear kafiyas also. Yes.
Why can't you just say that I'm going to see what the real halacha is, and we see it's a real midas chasidus? And I feel like throughout the Rishon LeNachum, I think I could do it.
Good. Yitzadik yisod olam. We need more like you. Not everyone is like that, though. Look at the next case, number 6. All right. So you're right. How many hours do we wait between?
Is it a flaw in methodology?
To say that? On the contrary, that's what Rav Cohen called muskama chavratit. That's consensus. Consensus, you see what the poskim say, the majority of the poskim. You see what the norm of Jewish life is. It's not 100% reliable.
The norm of Jewish life is not going to always be with the poskim.
I mean, the norm of Jewish life in terms of those that shomer Torah mitzvahs. All right?
We go by rov?
It's not a question of rov. How would you call muskama chavratit? It seems to be a consensus.
We're just trying to. We just had a chavura about Atifa.
Right.
The entire Jewry, Ashkenazic Jewry, pretty much does not cover their head
during Tefillah.
Yeah, Magen Avraham.
Right.
Well, they do have.
Okay, so why?
Maybe they're not Tamid Chacham.
Okay.
Maybe that's the answer. In other words, they're not violating anything. It's a good self-perception.
Or does it go by what the halacha is?
Right. Yes and no. It's a good question. It's a very long topic, but just take another question. It's also for a person to do something that he knows is mutter that people think is asur. All right? You can't be matmiya sarabim. You can't stun people. Just because you know the halacha is a certain way, if the consensus, if the muskamah chevratit is different, and people will think... What's that?
They cancel yamaka out.
Can't, because most religious Jews...
You have to,
correct.
You have to.
That's no question about it.
And now it's halacha. And now once it's halacha...
Can't say it's halacha, because like the gentleman said here, the times when a person is patur.
No, right. We just said that it goes by someone. It's usher to do something that someone else might think, even though it's mutter, it's usher.
Yes, correct.
That's my point.
But again, it could. So again, you have to go by the muskma chavratit. The truth is, in America, a lot of people don't wear yarmulke. Say if they're in court or in a workplace, they don't wear it. I'll tell you something else. I didn't realize until a year ago. There are people in Israel who will not wear yarmulkes in the workplace either. Strange as it sounds. Why? Because they don't want to be defined as part of a particular camp. You know, the type of yarmulke you wear is an association with a particular camp. If it's surga, if it's velvet, if it's leather, whatever it is, if it's big, right, small, you're defined. And they don't want to be defined. They just don't wear it all together. But in their homes, what's that?
They're defined as Chilonim.
Exactly. I think they prefer that than to be defined as the wrong Orthodox group. Because then in the hometown, they go to shul, they're in the house, they're walking the streets. There they do. Strange. I mean, it's strange. Especially in Israel, it's strange. But nonetheless, it exists also,
right,
I guess.
So is it right now, today, because most people do, does it now become halakha? Because people are going to think you're doing it, people are going to be stuck. Does now it become halakha?
Right. You can't say, something has become halakha, you're asking me, it's lemaisa, should a person do it? No question about it.
Is it halakha?
I don't think you could take something and just convert the status. It might be a halakha I'm using as a definitive term, right? Minig is not halacha.
Minig
is mevatel halacha also, but those are slogans. The fact is, if you have a proper formulation, you're not going to say the rabbanon is a daraisa, notwithstanding lo sasur. You have to just keep the categories correct. So if you're asking me, can a minig become a halacha? I mean, Rashi disagrees, but it can't become a halacha. That doesn't mean it's not binding on the person. The mechayev is the same. You still have to do it. You could have a mechayev for minig and for a daraisa and a drabbanon. Mechayev might be the same. It doesn't mean that the level of the particular practice is the same.
So we established that something that is mutter, but people think it's usher, and you know it's mutter, you're not allowed to do it.
If it's matmiya sarabim, right? Depends again how widespread it is. That's right.
You walk
right. So if Rebbe walked outside without a yarmulke, I think that he's
not. That's correct.
So it's the same thing.
Parts getter is not halacha. That's parts getter.
Parts getter is not halacha.
It's a pasuk in Kohelas.
We just said it's usher.
It's a pasuk in Kohelas. It's not part of Taryag.
It's not like halacha. It's in Shulchan Aruch.
I know what that means. Shulchan Aruch is wrong.
If it's usher.
So why do they have a category for it's getter for? They should say usher. Why do they make a category for? Apparently they knew what they're doing.
We'll get back to Marshall later, because Marshall had a hard time with the Shulchan Aruch. All right, we'll see that in a moment. Okay, so how long do people actually meat and milk?
Machlokas.
Big machlokas. Comes up to minig also. Look at number 6, the Marchon, Daf Kufayim and Aleph. Bamine Ravasim Rabbi Yochanan, Kama Yisha Ben Basil Gvino, how much time wait between meat and cheese? Amalei Velo Klum, not at all. Any, how could this be? Amar Avchista, Ocha Basar, Osa Lecho Gvino, Gvino Mutal Lecho Basar. So after meat, you have to wait. After cheese, you don't have to wait. Ela Kama Yisha Ben Gvino Le Basar, Amalei Velo Klum, he answered again, same thing. Gufa, Amar Rav Chista, Ocha Basar, Osa Lecho Gvina, Gvina Muta Lecho Basar. If you eat meat, you can't eat cheese right away. Cheese, you can eat meat right away. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yosef Rav Chista, Basar Shben Shinaim, what if you have meat caught between your teeth? Kari La Basar, Adena Ben Shinaim, it's a pasuk in the Torah. In Balascha. Amar Ukva, Ana Loha Milsa, Chala Bar Chamer Lagabe Abba. Amar Ukva said about himself, regarding this matter, I am vinegar, the son of wine, vis-a-vis my father. My father's on a higher level. Dilu Abba, ki hava ochel bisra ha'idna, la hava ochel gvina ad l'machar ad hashta. my father, if he ate meat now at this time, he would not eat cheese until the next day, 24 hours later. Vilu ana behasu udasa hudlo achilna, lusudasa charita achilna. But me, regarding this suda, I don't eat. If I eat, don't eat this suda, in the next meal, the next suda I have, I will eat. All right, so that then becomes the question: how do you define the next suda in these terms? And Mechaber says in 7, in Peites, Ocha basar afil shachay v'of, l'yocha gvina achar v'chiyisha shesho. So 6 hours. Why 6 hours? Because people ordinarily eat meals at 6 hour intervals. All right, he goes, we'll see that in the Taz. And the Ramah says as follows. He finds basar shmei shinayim, he has to take it out, to hadacha, v'yish omrim de'ein srichin lahamtin shesho. Some say you don't have to wait 6 hours. Rak miyad im salak uberech birchas hamazon muta ayde kinuach vadacha. Ramah says, quoting an opinion of Rishonim, tells Mordechai and others, that if you don't have to wait 6 hours, if you finish your meal, you bench, then you have to clean out your teeth and wash out your mouth, and then you're good. Clean out your teeth, basash ben hashinam is that problem is solved. How long you have to wait according to Tosas? Zero. You bench, ready for the next meal. Person person obviously overeats. V'minigah poshe b'ninos eilu hamdan achar chilas basa shachas v'ochon achar kach gvino. The minig in our parts is to wait 1 hour after meat and then you have cheese. He goes on to say at the bottom, the medakta can wait 6 hours after eating meat. V'chei nachon lasos, it's a good minute to follow. The Rambam said, kishay shos, like 6 hours. But you see, yet a minute extant amongst the Rishonim, Tosos, the Mordechai, and others, to not wait at all. By the way, the 1 hour minute exists among the Dutch, right? I've heard. What's that?
It only emerged as like some sort of bizarre, if you look at it, like it's a tact when it came about.
What, the 3 hours is what you don't find a source for.
That for sure. But even 1 hour is attacked because they said, Mimanashach, who are you holding like? You're either going to like the Rama or you're going to like the Tosos.
You're holding like the Rama?
The Rama. I know, but the...
But Shachas.
But no, this came out before the Rama. So what happened was there were early
afro. Oh, I mean the ones who criticized it.
They attack it as being fraud. They said, you got to pick a side. You can't just make up an hour. But I think it was an idea like some sort of shark or Tosos. Like, they felt bad about people just meeting out there, so they have to wait something.
I'll tell you what to make us feel bad. So this I know because it happened to people that I know very well. They make the weddings they make in Amsterdam. They have their meat meal, right? They have a dance set for an hour. They have a dairy ice cream for dessert. Okay, that's the norm at the weddings in according to Ramah. That's the norm in Amsterdam. That's how they do it. What's 5 hours?
Yeah.
I don't know. Kishesh into the sixth. All right, so the Taz number 8 mentions two reasons here. One is basa motzi shuman u'moshech tamat zman aruch. You have to wait a longer period of time because of digestion. The tam also remains, perhaps in your mouth. So that's why Lois Latinuk would not have to wait, because there's no digestion. The tambez is the Rambam. Mishum basa shemen shinayim. You have meat caught between your teeth. You have to wait for the tam also to evaporate. And therefore, lois would be a problem. And in any event, the Taz says you will machma like both opinions. That she shows. According to the Ramah, you see that after the first opinion, that you just from one suda to the next, right? Literally, what Marukva said, you just have to kinuach and adacha, and that takes away any tam that exists and takes away basla shabein hashinayim as well. Anybody hold like that these days? They eat dairy right after the suda? Yeah, no.
So
even on Shavuos, what's that?
So many people hold the 3 hours. It's such a common...
3 hours is two better than the one? Okay.
What is 3 hours?
It seems like a compromise the Yekis made between the one and the five. I don't know. I never really saw in a source in the Rishonim 3 hours. Yeah.
But how do you respond to people who approach you about that?
I feel you wanted to say, it's all those men came from suda to suda.
So how often they ate?
Right, so in Amsterdam they eat less short meals, like 5-6 meals a day.
Ah, that's possible.
So they said, based on suda l'suda, the one next to
that's possible. It also could be that, you know, the northern climes, the day is shorter. So let's say you have two sudas on a Shabbos, you're eating two sudas within a very short amount of time. Okay, so Maybe that's
someone says that's their minute.
To wait three?
Yeah.
Why do I have to respond to everyone? I don't have to respond to everyone.
They follow.
But here's my point. What would we say is muskama chevrotiyah? So that's geographically based already. A person has a right to say, "I want to be Dutch today." You know, I want to have an ice cream. I just had the hamburger. I'll wait an hour. You can't say that. Nor could a person suddenly say, "I'm going to hold 1 hour. I'm going to hold 0 hours." Just birchas amazon kinuch and adacha, like the Rama says, because the Rama wrote it black and white.
But the Rama, why don't pass on that?
Because that's a shita. But my point is that's what makes it a famous. That's what makes it a famous leniency. My point is, we don't hold like the Rama. And you can't suddenly say, I want to hold like the Rama now. Because muskama chevratid is ready to find. What do? We do like our parents did. Whatever minig they held. 1, 3, 4, into the 6 or 6. All right. By the way, just like nobody holds 0, like the Rama says here, no one holds also like Marukva's father, who waited 24 hours after meat to have dairy. So the extremes are taken out, but nonetheless, those shitos exist as well.
So he would eat dairy also this time?
The Rama?
No.
That's the most common applications, by the way. If you have dairy first, because the minhag on Shavuos have 2 sudos, so you have a dairy meal, then you have to bench, then kinuch and adocha, then you have your meat meal. So you have 2 sudos. Zecher l'shtei halachim. Okay, the third one is even more interesting, maybe not as relevant to anyone. And that starts in number 10. So, you know, according... Yeah, you have a question?
No.
Stretching, okay. Stretching. Put yarmulke back on.
What do you say, just like by the kippah, you know, when you're in the chavati, that's where everyone goes already. So even the Dutch guy, I understand in Amsterdam, I think when it comes to Israel, America, it's not the minhag.
It's a good question. Here. Israel seems to be more of an amalgam of different minhagim. Like... Nahara upashte. People just follow their own derech as long as it's a legitimate minig. They don't have to abandon it. It's true in tefillah, it's true in kashrus, it's true in Pesach for sure. All right? So I respect that as long as it's there. All right, so. Yes?
If we're searching for the right halacha, does it matter what the chevrati do?
Can't say the right halacha. Because
you could have a legitimate Basher and
yes,
Vina.
Yes.
Okay, and it comes out the Tosfos makes a lot of sense.
Based on what?
Based on Svara, I don't know. The way we learn a sugya, I don't know. You learn with your Rebbe, and it seems like that makes sense.
Right, but
no one does it.
Yeah, but one second before you go on, we say something makes sense. The fact is, the Svara of Tosfos makes sense, and the Svara of the Rambam also makes sense. They're both logical. A machlokas is going to have at least 2, sometimes more than 2, logical opinions.
Right.
So you can't say one makes more sense than not.
Right, but you see it from the Gemara that, you see Rashi from the Gemara. Let's say you see it, I'm asking. And no one does it. Or most people do
like this of Marukva and his father. Either wait 24 hours or wait 0.
Because Marukva is not brought down to the Rishona.
It's actually not so, because the whole point was, how do you define Misuda Lasuda?
Right.
You could define Misuda Lasuda as 0 or 6 hours, a general interval.
Right.
So it's not to say it's not.
Maybe not in that case, but in a case like this, where no one follows it.
No one follows the Gemara.
No one follows Tosfos. In this case, Tosfos and even the Rama.
Right.
Okay. If you went through the Sugya, are you allowed to hold like that? If you're looking for the...
Not as a Yachid. Can't. That's exactly my point. You can't do that. You can't find an opinion and say, I'm going to be knowing like that, because even though the consensus is different. Psak is different. Masor is different.
Right, so what do we do? Busser? I don't understand how...
To go busser rove?
How do we have to call it?
Busser with a tuff?
So do we do busser? Do we go by busser?
Say Al-Kharav. All right, that's the first answer.
Say
you have a question, you have to ask your Rebbe.
You have
a right to follow your Rebbe. There's no question about that.
How did the Rebbe do it?
How
he
did
got
the
from his Rebbe, or maybe he didn't get it? Let's say he made a finish. Let's
right.
Say he helped. How is he allowed to do that?
Let me ask. So let's go back to your previous point. Let's say Rebbe decided that based on Svara, there's no chiyuv to wear a yarmulke in the street.
Right.
Okay. Find a new Rebbe, because that's not the consensus. That's not the muskama chevrati that exists in Klal Yisrael. I said, depends what area you're talking about. You can't. This is my whole point. You can't just find an opinion and say, I'm going to follow that opinion, even if it makes a lot of sense, if it has no support, both lemaisa and in terms of mesora. That's the opinion. Now you see it even clearly in the next case, which doesn't relate to any of you. As you all know, according to the law of the Torah, polygamy is permissible. All right, so the Ashkenazim banned it in Rabbeinu Gershom's time, which is almost 1,050 years ago. In Israel, of course, it was banned also by law, but permitted to Svardim. They just need the permission of the two chief rabbis. That was the original law in Israel as well, because the Sephardic world never held from, Edom Mizrach never held from Rabbeinu Gershom, he was Ashkenazi.
Israel is permitted for Svardim to play.
In Israel, it's permissible. Yeah, if they came for sure, they don't have to. But you need the permission of both chief rabbis, Ashkenazi and Sephardi, which is never given. Unless you have, by the way, you have a case every couple of years of Nosa Isha Vashah Eser Shonim, and then they might permit it. But it was made at a time when the chief rabbis were always getting along, and so they knew they wouldn't agree on anything, so that's the way it was done. But so that's, we all know that, and Baruch Hashem, you find one wife, you're lucky. What about Pilakshim? So polygamy is multiple marriages, you're married to both. What about Pilakshim? What's a Pilagesh? It's a simple pshat, except for Rashi and Chumash, the simple pshat is a Pilagesh is below Ksuba, below Kiddushin, all right? It's an arrangement a person makes for a woman for a short amount of time, however long he wants, however long she wants. It begins informally, he's responsible for supporting her, giving her some amount of money, and then it ends pretty much informally also, okay? If you look at the Gemara in Yoma, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, number 10. So, Rav Kimikla L'Darshish Machriz, Rav, the great Rav, Rav of Surah, Rashiv of Surah, the Yeshiva existed 15 centuries. Man Havia L'Yoma, who is available for a day? So Rashi says he would ask Yesh Isha Shetinase Lili Yoma Shisakev Kan Vitezel Achar Mikan. Is there a woman that I could find marry me just for the day while I'm here? Oh, and after I leave, I'll send her away. Now some interpret this as a real isha with kiddushin and ksuba, which means that when he divorced her, he have to be obligated for 200 zuz, which is a hefty sum. But others differ, especially the Yaivitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And he held that Rav was not talking about an Isha, but Rav was talking about a Pilagesh. He would pay money for a woman, you know, legally, it's according to the law of the Torah, bring her in, and then send her out the next day. Rav Nachman, Kadmikla L'Shachnetziv, Rav Nachman, do the same thing when he went to Shachnetziv, also announced, Manhavia Lioma. Is there someone available for me for the day? So the Gemara asks, how could this be? We have a klal, you can't marry women in different places. Shemi Yizdav Guzei Tzalzev, Nitzach Nosei Achoso. Because you'll then spawn children in different locales. The children won't know each other, and a brother might, God forbid, marry a sister. Umimalakom Kulo Mamzerus. Can't do that. Amre Rabbana Kala Islahu. Rabbis, there's kol. If a rabbi did such a thing, people would find out about it. Trust me, it'd be true. That is true. If a rabbi did that, people found it very quickly and expose it. The Rambam says in 9, the end, he's talking about in Hilchos Malachim Perek Dalach Hadal, he's talking about the Melch Yisrael. He could take Noshim up to 18, Pilagshim as many as he wants. Aval HaHedyot also be Pilagesh. A hedyot, a regular Jew, is forbidden to marry a Pilagesh. So according to the Rambam, that avenue is closed for us. Yes?
So what do you mean a regular Jew?
A hedyot, a non-king. Only the king can take Pilagshim, according to the Rambam.
How does Sparta get that minute?
Yes, how does Sparta?
No, they have women. They marry. They don't take Pilagshim. They marry, marry.
Chuba v'kiddushin. So the difference between a Pilagesh and a natural wife is...
What? No kiddushin, no ksuba, just an agreement they have between them. That's the agreement. All right. Well, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who is a bit of a maverick in any event, he was a big Talmud Chacham in the 18th century, lived in the Hamburg area, was a rav briefly in Altoona, and then he became a magazine publisher. And because of feuds that took place, he left the Rabbanus and just wrote, and he was a very creative thinker, and he didn't care really for controversy. What he saw in his day is something not unlike our day, rampant promiscuity. So he said, why don't we restore the institution of Pilagesh? So this is a Shut Shelis Yaivitz Chelik Bei Simon Tezvav. And there he says that Ashivcha Malachon Rishon, we learn in the Perakon Gadol, my Noshim, my Pilagshim. So Rav said, Noshim Iksuvi Kiddushim Pilagshim Belo Ksuv Belo Kiddushim. Visa Sug Hosom de Gozo Yichub de Pnuya. There he had the based in David's time after Amnon and Tamar. They decreed against people even being alone with a single woman. Kasafti Sham, the Pilegesh Vada Eina Bechal Isser Zeh. Pilegesh is not included in this Isser Yichud. Ki Mavacha Matsina Bekosov Gamacha Maisi de Tamar, Melochim and Eldam Gadom Shalakulam Pilakshim. We find many times, both in Tanakh and time of the Gemara, people took Pilakshim, and he says, therefore, that Rav Nachman took Pilakshim and not women. There's no Isser Kadesha. A Pilegesh is a Dim Pinuya, because there's no Kiddushin. There's no ksuba, it's a private relationship. One second. So you can't, a kadesh is a woman who's mafkeres herself to all. That the Torah abandons. But if a woman is, so to speak, monogamous with just one man, the chup of kiddushin, there he says it should be allowed. Mashenikem pilegesh, sheinela pelagisha, half a wife, kinut notri kun shelo, lo gozru bagzeres halolu. A pilegish is a woman. There's no ksuba. There's no kiddushin. It's just mucheda. She set aside for him for a certain amount of time, whatever they choose. It's consensual. For amount of money, whatever they choose, whatever they arrange. Avodina kipnuy lechol davar. She's a pnuy in the sense that once the relationship ends, she does not need a get. Once again, she's out there in the world. He quotes the Rambam, who says, "Bechiburo shalhutra apilegesh elu lemelech lo lehedyot." A pilegesh is only eligible for a king of Israel, not for a hedyot, a commoner, regular Jew. V'lo noda minayin lo chidush din zeh, because I don't know where he got this chidush from. It's something that doesn't exist in the sources. Shenira misnaged l'masha mefurish b'mikra. It's against what you find in Tanakh. Lo matzim lo smach b'talmud v'lo chaver b'poskim v'chadom l'shesomach lo zal amashikos b'shinuya kama rabbonon kala islu uman malchei rabbonon. It could be he was citing the end of the Gemara Yoma that we did, that the rabbonon can do it because there's a call. People will know that she was a concubine to this particular Rav or king. Who are royalty? Rabbanon. So that's what he meant. A hedyot, not in terms of, not in contradistinction to Melch Yisrael, but a hedyot as opposed to a Talmud Chacham or a Rav. That's what Yaakov Emden understood the Rambam. But he says, Ulam dinze shechidesh Moshe midaito. Bemes nirke divrei nevius. This Moshe means the Rambam fabricated. It's like a prophecy. Why should it be only for a melech and not for others? And he goes on to say that certainly all the other objections that were raised, she won't do tevila for tahara, it'll lead to mamzerus, it'll lead to a kadesha, etc. All these things are just not so. You could have a relationship that, I mean, it's even worse today in real life than this, but it's even less formal. But nonetheless, you could have such a thing. Af lefi dasa osrim eina shelo gzer chadasha mevuda milibam shen l'ikuv yisod. This whole notion of banning pilakshim is something that is without a source. V'chein ein locha shelo lisunida shen abosha l'dbol gam ein pagam l'bnei mitzvah v'acha me'acha sheheter gomor. This is completely permissible. There's no reason why it should be therefore prohibited to people. And if someone needs it to overcome urges, he should do it. He's actually even more expansive than the part I cited here. He says at the end, "Mikomokam eini rotsa shismach adam al yadi bazeh kim al pi askamas gadolei hador." Don't rely just on me, but and encourage the gadolim to sign on to it. I cited part. I copied part of the tshuva here as well. He says also, you know, one of the things that underlay the Takana of Beno Gershom was the fact that the Christian world frowned on multiple marriages. That's why he banned multiple marriages. But b'makom shein umos makpidim vadlo gazar, where the umos are not makpid, there is no gzera. Very hard to say that in America these days people are gozer on these things, that people even care about it. Yes.
If someone was a pelagish, is a kohen allowed to marry that girl?
Yes, she wouldn't be she's not a grusha. That's correct. Yes. Maybe not kohen gadol. Kohen gadol can't, but...
I don't really understand. Maybe not halachically she's a penuya, because...
she's never married. A penuya is an unmarried woman. She was never married.
I was thinking so. She doesn't get...
No, psul is different.
She doesn't get
if when she got married to someone, she'd be a ba'ula. She gets 100 zuz in the ksuba.
No, but she still has a... She would get 100 after... having bia,
correct? That'd be 100 after, if she's divorced or widowed afterwards, right?
No, yes. No, after she had bia, she now gets 100.
She gets married again.
She marries. She's not married. She doesn't get anything. She gets whatever the agreement was between them.
So, after that agreement, she goes to a...
Maybe pizza and a Diet Coke. Who knows?
So if she goes to another, she leaves him, and then she goes to another person.
No problem.
She gets 200?
No, she's no money at all. She's a pelega, she's not an isha.
No, to another, she's...
She marries someone. She's a ba'ula. She's a ba'ula. She would get 100. Hundreds, yeah.
Is this a big
connection? I hope not. But look, it's not just Rabbi Yaakov Amnon. Look again in the Ramah, number 13. Simon Chavav Sif Aleph. So the Machaber nicks the idea of a pelegesh. Marama says the bivadai bosha himilid bol ubalak benidasa. Aval im miyached elav isha v'tovelas elav. If he sets aside a woman and she goes to the mikveh for him, yesh omrim shemutar v'hu pelegesh amur b'torah. Some say it's permissible. That's the Torah's pelegesh. That's the Ravid. V'yesh omrim she'asur. By the way, the Ravid says in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, where he disagrees with the Rambam about Pilagash. V'yesh omrim she'asur v'lokin al zem yishum lo tia kadesha. That's the Rambam. That only a melech can. For others, she's a kadesha.
The Rosh
and the Torah. So correct. No question about it. That's why it's not catching on. But here's my point. Again, you go back to the first opinion of the Ramah. And the Yavitz is not old. The Yavitz lived around the time of the American Revolution. Okay, it's not that far away, just a little over 240 years ago. The Yavitz thought that it should be raised in Jewish life. All right, if you're asking me, I think it's a terrible idea, both morally, practically, sociologically, in terms of the welfare of marriages. It's a terrible idea. But nonetheless, my point is this. Here you have a famous leniency in the Yavitz. If you want to take this as a conglomerate, all right, would you be able to structure a case whereby a person can sit in his home and have his pilegesh serve him a hamburger? He benches, then he has a glass of milk, all while not wearing a yarmulke? No question about it. Such a person can exist, right? He's not. Maybe he's a novel versus a Torah. Maybe not. He can exist, right? But at a certain point, then we say, one second, this person seems to be far afield of the way Jews live. So how's that possible? It's only possible when you start cherry-picking opinions in the Rishonim and Achronim in order to suit what it is that you want to do. And that's a very dangerous practice in terms of methodology, in terms of psak. And what it really does is destroy the Masorah.
If you look, because I know it's absolutely catching on.
Yes.
As you mentioned in the beginning, let's say enough, I'll put it in quotes, Rabban, right, who had smicha from legitimate institutions, but they themselves start adopting this methodology, and then they give that over to their tzibur, and well, in the next 150 years.
Big problem.
Right, so, but then what's your response to it? In other words, what do you do then? Because at some point, what if it becomes the normative behavior?
Nasa Tarkish de Taras. It's a big problem. All right. We struggle with Minhagim, but things that are not really part of the Masar, they exist. The Masar is somewhat fluid, but not completely fluid. It's not it's not a ball of wax that you could shape any way you want. like Chief Justice Marshall said about the American Constitution, you can't just take the Misora and make anything you want out of it. Now, I want to contrast two extremes. Yes. You're not one of the extremes, but ask anyway.
No. Yeah. And, I think the response where he ended that, I think that the way, I mean, I think as far as history has shown, those who tend to trickle off tend to disappear in the same group of people.
Oh, that's a good, it's a good point to answer of Ginsburg. What happens ultimately is once you start playing with halacha like that, people feel disconnected from the Sharashim, from their roots, and you can't convey, you can't transmit such a methodology to your children. You can't transmit to your children a love for a system that is so fluid, so flexible, as to be non-existent in substance. So that's why they start disappearing as well, and they just abandon the whole notion of any type of fidelity to Torah. Yes?
If anyone sees the going to last long, just the Haredim. So now, how do we apply it to that?
Yes, they're pretty strict about what they do. So that's
saying,
that's.
I mean, people. I mean, Haredim. I mean, I was the H last year.
Well, I say, I mean, monochromatic. You know, not just black and white. But if the Rebbe says that, there's no deviation.
Right.
Yeah, all right. It could be in terms of the Yachid, but in terms of the group, right, whatever the group is, there's no deviation, even in terms of hats. Okay.
What's that?
Look, I'm a misnagit. Hats, what do they wear on their head?
Yeah.
The type of hat
is
transmitted av leben. If you wear a different hat, if you bend the brim a certain way,
right,
that's poreitz gader yishachenu nachash. If you bend the hat a certain way, right, different than your father.
You said a good built-in mechanism, though, is the die-off factor. But,
what?
Is that these things will die off. Siddukin, this and that. Chorin will be the first to tell you my Orthodox is dying out.
It's I don't know if it's dying out, but it's very possible. It's on hard times. Right now, it's a very critical juncture because of the movements that Ginsburg mentioned. You don't know which way they're going to head. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight.
But it seems that
it happens over the course of decades.
Can be whatever it wants to be. It doesn't mean it's the right thing. But the Masora.
That's exactly my point. Now, I want to just contrast two extremes. One, again, is the Marshal. Give me one second. Number 15. This is in the Yamshel Shlomo's Haktama to Mesachas Baba Kama. And again, Sifsasov Dovos Bekever, today's his yard site. The Marshal was vehemently opposed to the codification of halacha. Many people in the Rambam's time opposed the Mishnah Torah also. He felt that lead people not to learn. Marshal was completely opposed to the publication of the Shulchan Aruch. And he says that Hagabatzmacha, Moshe Lomalo Kasam Bibagvur Bar He Tev Kvisha Roy. You'll ask, why didn't Moshe then write what we had to do? Why do we have to sift through the psukim? Why do we have to learn Gemara to find out Esaderach Yelchuba? Miblishi Polbo Shem Safeg. Why couldn't Moshe give us the Torah in such a way? There's no doubt. We'll know exactly what to do. V'yeponim echad l'Torah v'lo memtes. There'll be one facet to Torah and not 49. All right? Why didn't Moshe include everything we needed to know? Why do you have machlokos all together? So that's a big topic. It's something that is Yerushalmi that says it's built into the system. It's not like the Bavli says it came as a result of Shel Shimshu Kol Tzarkon. The Yerushalmi says, no, that's a Eis Kol HaDvar Ma'ela. That's what it was supposed to be. So you have the full gamut of Torah. Anyway, the Marshal goes on to say, Al Zeh Hishav HaChocham Atmi Asam, Asosfar Mein Ketz. Again, a pasuk at the end of Koheles. You can write any number of books that you want, and you can't find every problem in the books. Even this, I saw this from the, even the 39 Malachos, all right, which is a very comprehensive work on Hilcha Shabbos, it's not going to find, you won't find there every single case. You're not going to find every new circumstance. So you have to need to know the basic principles as well. Klomar, she'eino min efshari laso svarim binyan zeh. It's not possible to write books that can encompass this. And he felt the Shulchan Aruch was too limiting. Ken keitz v'tachlis l'nyano, k'mashmo, kim kol rikia shemayim gvilin chol yam diyo. If all the heavens were quills and all the seas ink, lo yasbikul chdei parsha achas, you could not even fully, comprehensively write about one area of halacha, much less the Torah, completely. So he was against it. That's what the Torah was given in every generation. So you see, what the Marshal favored, of course, was a very intensive study of Torah, of Talmud. Marshal, same Marshal as before. Yamshel Shlomo. The same Marshal. This is just a Parashan Gemara. What you have to have is a, since no sefer of halacha can be comprehensive enough, these types of svarim will lead to Talmud Torah suffering, and at least a constriction of Jewish life, not a development of Jewish life. That's the Marshal. Yes.
Sorry.
By the way, did his view prevail? Absolutely not. He wasn't the only one in the 16th century to hold this. Others did as well. But clearly, his opinion did not prevail. Hence, such encyclopedic works that we have. Yes.
So at the end of the day, it doesn't come down to how you got there in Saka Lacha. I mean, does Halacha really not come upon you? Is it only come upon you until you see it from the Gemara? Or no, Halacha Shabbos is on you from the 2nd and 13th. So I don't necessarily see the knock against the Great Swarm. I see a knock against not having Gemaras too. I'm saying, is it really a problem knowing Saka Lacha before you see it all the way from
No, there is a there is a value to learning Gemara and coming to Pesach Halacha. There's a value to, not everyone does that, but there's a value to it. There's a value also to see the Halacha and then trace it back to Sina. There's a value in that also. But he's not saying that. He's criticizing reliance on the Sifra Halacha. Look, I've met people like this. They don't want to learn. They just want to tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. I don't care why. I just want to know what. That's it. There's a value to that. But that's the death of Talmud Torah. It's Talmud Torah can get kulam, so we suffer as a people. I want to just contrast that with something a contemporary said by Nathan Lopez Cardozo, Lizner Shalayim. Yes.
Without Shulchan Aruch, though, then until the person actually goes servicing the sugya, he's not doing Torah mitzvah.
You're swimming in an endless sea without the Shulchan Aruch.
Right.
An endless sea, even with the Shulchan Aruch. You're swimming in endless sea without the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, without the Noseh Kelim, without the Shut of Acharonim down in our day. You could be swimming or walking blind. Or Cardozo, Lizner Shalayim, I think he heads a yeshiva there as well. I've always enjoyed his writings because he thinks out of the box. He's Dutch, by the way, Dutch art. I think he teaches at Aish, or taught at Aish. Dutch, so must hold the 1 hour. But he says something here in your native tongue, you could read it, about autonomous religiosity. I'm confronted daily with countless... This he wrote early this year. I'm confronted daily with countless young Jews who search for an authentic Jewish religious way of life, but are unable to find spiritual satisfaction in the prevalent halachic system as practiced in most ultra or modern Orthodox communities. For them, typical halachic life is not synonymous with genuine religiosity. The halacha has become too monotonous, too standardized, too external than to experience the presence of God on a day-to-day basis. And he quotes the Marshal, others who also decried the Shulchan. Sounds it. That's correct. That's where we're heading. All right. Criticize Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Torah, that they don't reflect authentic Judaism. Reason obvious. Both these great codes of Jewish law are very un-Jewish in spirit. Well, who's he echoing? Explicitly, the Marshal. Marshal held to be un-Jewish in spirit because it deprives Judaism of its multifaceted halachic tradition, its Torah music. So he goes overboard. See, he's against over-codification, etc. But if you look at the last few lines, in light of the above-mentioned observations, I wonder whether we can reintroduce the great Talmudic debates in a way which will reshape Judaism into its original, multifaceted, colorful self, so that the young searching Jews of today will fall in love with it. Should we perhaps permit, even encourage, people or communities to decide themselves which of the many opinions in the Talmud they would like to follow?
So I'll follow Judaism to Christian for 1 hour of
Zadok. That's correct. So his point is, I could be done Lakav Schluss, but only to a certain limit. 1 second. His point is, not you. He's talking about Jews who are not religious at all. Not Shomer Torah Mitzvos. Wouldn't it be better if a guy who eats a cheeseburger would say, no, I'll eat a hamburger and then I'll have cheese right afterwards. Is that not better than eating the cheeseburger? That's his argument.
What?
I'm being done with Kav Schuss. We have to read the whole article.
What is he saying?
What he's saying is people who are disconnected from tradition, They don't follow any halacha. Wouldn't it be better to find lenient opinions in the Talmud that can satisfy them? Okay.
Where do you see that?
Now, so now the you have to read the whole article. Oh. But now the Don Lakavskos ends. Because what's the problem with it? You're not serving God anymore.
Serving yourself.
There's no surrender. There's no sense of submission. There's no sacrifice. There's no akedah. There's nothing. It's what makes me feel good. I'll do it. If I could find a source for it, matovu manoim. But you see, he's at the extreme. But don't throw it away. You see, he's at the, or you can keep the hands out. You see the extreme that we are at. Then that's his question. What to do? What are we supposed to do with spiritual seekers who are not shomer mitzvahs? And he says, look in the Talmud, find some that satisfies them. The bottom line is, if you do that, what's satisfying them is not avodas Hashem. What's satisfying is avodas atzmi, serving themselves. And that's that is the ultimate avodah zarah. Yes?
In the article, does he mention it's for non-religious people?
He mentions it, I think I have it here also. Countless young Jews search authentic Jewish religious way of life, but they don't want to follow the prevailing halachic system. Okay? So we would have a simple answer. Well, if you're not following the prevailing halachic system, you're not searching for an authentic Jewish religious way of life. My point is, again, that if... See, there's another point that he's missing also. This whole notion of people decrying the Shulchan Aruch, that was great in its time, but that debate ended 5 centuries ago. We're no longer debating whether Shulchan Aruch is applicable anymore. That battle is over. That train left the station. That dog will no longer hunt. The fact is, we are B'nai Shulchan Aruch. We follow the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah, and the Poskim, and the Achronim, and the Shazim Shuvas. That's how we find. Not seeking ancient opinions in that are no longer valid or prevalent, or have not been followed in 2,000 years or 1,500 years, to say that's what we can do now. That's not Mesorah anymore. That's the creation of a different religion. Yes?
The Maharshal was not saying that the works should not be studied. They have to be studied.
They definitely should be studied.
They definitely should be studied. Right.
Right. Sure. It's also Talmud Torah.
Right. The problem becomes when that is the, let's say, the substitute for...
You can't suddenly decide, I'm going to follow Beis Shammai now.
No,
Mela, there was a Basco, but the Basco was good in its time. I can't hear it anymore.
I'm saying that you should study the Gemara. It should not be a substitute.
There's no question about it.
The Rambam, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch should not be substitutes.
Whenever you're in a realm of Bishri Rusli B'Eilech, you're going to find your own way to God. That becomes Avodah Zarah. That is a corruption of Yadus as we know it, even if you're trying to give it a veneer of Yadus. It's not. It's outside the world of Torah. And as I noted at the beginning, you find this now coming into many areas in Jewish life. Someone wrote actually this very week, somewhat the same thing. Is it time now to revisit settled halacha in order to accommodate people who feel that they cannot follow the halacha as is written? This he wrote last spring, Rabbi Cardozo. This fellow wrote it this very week, Monday of this week. I read such an article as well. I'll tell you later where it came from, but I came from Chove. But the fact is, it exists. Chove Torah. It exists in our world.
And that's what I was saying before.
What's going to happen?
But that has not been stamped out.
It's gone.
That's right.
It has not been stamped out. It's been tolerated.
Why not?
Because there's not enough people of courage to step forward and say, you must eradicate this institution.
It doesn't grow because their kids...
Can't eradicate. You have to clarify.
You have to show ideologically why what they're doing is corrupt.
Right. That's correct.
If you're a bottom
it doesn't grow because your kids become unreligious.
That's a problem. I agree with you. That's a problem. Yes, sir.
The next generation is very confused.
You go through all the sources, and does it matter if you see one shita or two shitas?
No. Answer your question. Yochid v'rabim halacha karabim. You can answer on that basis.
But it seems like there's also a derech that takes into account your own mind. And then you can make decisions. Did we find
that? I don't know. I wouldn't say it like that, because, right. By the way, the Yavetz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden did not take a Pilegesh. And the Ramah, you see at the end, Yesh Medaktik in Lahamtin Shei Shos, all right, V'chei Nochon Lasos, I can't say for sure, I would assume he waited 6 hours. And the Marshal did not walk around that Yarmulke. So,
I'm thinking what you're trying to say is you obviously would agree when someone goes through a sugya, part of what he takes into account is what people are annoyed like.
There's no question about it.
Right, so I'm saying that is part of the very.
That's part of understanding the sugya as well as how you got from point A to point B.
Right, exactly.
But how much? It's a deciding factor. It's a deciding factor.
So I'll answer a different way.
It's a scale.
I'll answer a different way also. So Zaken Mamre can be completely correct and logical in everything that he says, right? He can even teach what he's saying. He just can't tell people to act on it l'maisa. That's what makes him a Zaken Mamre. You can think whatever you want, all right? You could think you could wear tefillin backwards and make any sar you want, but it doesn't mean you can act on it. In terms of mass, in terms of practice, they have to follow what the halach consensus is.
Right, so what?
That's achram lahatos. You could think whatever you want. You could think whatever you want. Just can't do it.
So then, when if you go through a sugya and a minority opinion comes out to make more sense, what? They have
to ask a rebbe about that, because he could tell you that's so far outside the consensus. Like Rav Ginsburg said, it's so far outside the consensus that even if you've convinced yourself and others, and a miyut followed it as well, still you should not do it. Okay? Certainly if it's a kul, if it's a chumro, it's a machmi yachmil atzmo. But usually in the genre, people are looking for leniencies, not stringencies. That's why I called it famous leniencies, not famous stringencies. People are looking...
find the right thing to do, but that's
not always. No, they're looking for shortcuts.
I've been introduced to these things where you basically have the choice among shitos, and we say, you know, which one makes more sense. We kind of
give an example. But that could be valid minhagim. Then you go by what the minig is, your father's minig, Yeshiva's minig, etc.
We say which shita, we say we take the Torah, the Rambam, the Rith, and we compare them.
Right.
Which one seems to make more sense?
I don't know if methodologically you're supposed to pass from Rishonim anyway. All right. Generally, the Shulchan Aruch followed two of the three great ones.
Right. So, how much confidence can we put in our own intuition, mind, whatever you want to call it?
So that's going to depend on your level of learning.
Right.
That'll depend on your level of learning. Rabbi Chaik's brother, I remember, said years ago that the more you learn Yaradaya, the more you're able to eat. All right? You just know what you can eat, what you can't eat. The more you can eat, that doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to implement that in a restaurant. Okay? But nonetheless, there is such a phenomenon. You have to keep in mind, though, a yochid is on shaky ground, unless he can point to the klal and say, the klal is with me. It's possible. You can have cases where it is possible. But if you're talking about two different valid opinions, or four or five, then you follow what the minig is. If there's a reason to change the minig, say you made it ataras nadarim to change a valid minig that you did up to a certain point. But nonetheless, that itself says you're deviating from what existed before.
So let's say I want to. I don't wear a talus over my head.
Now. Right.
Okay. And it seemed pretty clear. that the talus over your head is a very good idea.
Right.
And there's no one. I mean, besides for the Magen Avraham.
Nobody said what.
No one said.
Nobody specified. Nobody. He was the one who brought up marriage. Nobody said even unmarried.
Right. It was not even brought up. So I
actually
know,
spoke about this a few weeks ago. It's a
does not, as in general, does not. I mean,
The Achronim struggle. The Achronim struggle to understand the Kam Minhag Ashkenaz not to wear a talis till you're married. It's a struggle. There's certainly mudim. So I mentioned when I was single, if I put a talis on for any reason, like let's say I leaned in shul, why keep it on the rest of the davening? Why take it off? I mean, wearing it already. Made a bracha to put it on, so why take it off?
Right.
Because it's a struggle to find a valid reason why it's not done. The reasons are brought down, but none are very gripping. I'm saying, if you wanted to wear a talis, you have to ask me. Find Rebbeim. What are you asking me for?
Okay, but if my Rebbe says that I should go like the ones that are not in the Ashkenaz, let's say Ashkenaz jerseys.
Keep in mind also, you do have in the Ashkenazic world valid minhagim. Yankee kids do it. They don't have Mizrach do it. It's not as if it's unknown. Right. I'm not asking for Rabbi Chait, but ask Rabbi Chait what he thinks. Also, I would say it's also.
Does he?
One second. If an Ashkenazi kid wants to put a talus on for two, would say it's also.
And ask him, what's put talus over his head?
No, he wants to dive with the talus.
It depends. If he went to a place, the minig is that the...
No, let's say he wants to do it. He's on mechira season.
Yeah, you could.
I would think the same thing. There's no isser to do it.
But what's
wearing
a talus without a tefillah?
But that's what I don't understand.
What's wearing a talus without a
tefillah? I don't understand. You said get another Rebbe.
Right.
30 minutes ago, I said if it seems so out of this world...
I'll tell you why. Because since there are veiled minhagim to wear a talus, you can't say that a person who then decides to wear a talus as a single is going off the derech.
Right.
But since there's no valid opinion... Right. But those are shown, we have to bring down to our day. Since there's no modern opinion, the last few... but even Ramah you have to clarify. You can't look at Ramah. Many things Ramah says we don't follow. All right? What's that? Whatever. That's one example. Other things Ramah says we don't follow. But nonetheless, halacha is dynamic. Halacha is vibrant. And so you have to look at the postgame of the last century also. Even that to our day, that's a Seilach HaRav. It's not find this. My point is, it's not find a Sefer or a Deya that's going to support what you want to do.
What do you need the Rav for, though?
You need the Rav. Because otherwise...
You're not going to know. You can look at everyone, and you can say
you're not going to know the svara. That's why you'll just see the facts.
Right, you'll see the facts, and you'll see what everyone else is.
So, like Rashi's and Ksuvas, sometimes one fact changes the whole. The svara is different. The psak is different.
How much does minhag play a role? Because by
minhag plays a very important role. Minhag plays a very important role. Yeah,
the Rav is an issue because. We said
no question about it.
Saying, but in the case of meat and milk,
right?
To get a new rough. How do I know to get a new rough?
Okay, so you have to know where you are.
Tell me to get a new rough.
That's maybe. That's a good question. You'll like this. What's a minhag about Hal Yom Ha'atzmaut?
Say it again.
Hal Yom Ha'atzmaut. What's a minhag here?
In the shul or in the yeshiva?
No, the yeshiva.
I would defer to Rabbi Jain.
I'll tell why I'm asking. So Rav Shechter gave a shiur a year ago that I heard on tape, and he just said on this issue of methodology, if you want to ask that Shiloh, you're not asking the Satmar Rebbe, because he's not part of that world. You have to ask someone to whom you relate, who sees the world roughly the same way you do. Obviously, the Rebbe will never see the world the same way you do, because then you'd be the Rebbe. But someone is within your general hashkofa.
Based on that logic, I wouldn't ask Rav Aviner either.
What's that?
Based on that logic, I wouldn't ask Rav Aviner either.
Whatever it is. But you have to find someone who's on your... Someone who's to whom you relate. And of course, the best way to do it is not to find a different Rav for each Shiloh. Because then you're cherry picking.
That's
a Seilach, that's a Nutinik, not my case. Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom.
My Rav says that, okay, at that point,
depends on the case. I mean, Tosfos Ha'Ramah, about the 0 hours?
Do I switch?
Thank you.
If it's switch, do I switch Ravs based on a sock that seems so wild?
If someone told you to eat milk right after, or drink milk right, cheese right after milk, right. I would say find a new rub. That's correct.
Right, and find a new rub.
But it's not. It's because that's so outside the consensus. That's why the other case we're dealing with, whether it's atifa or whether it's even wearing a talus as a single, that's not far outside the consensus because the people who do it. If it's something that no one does,
but this is what it is. Is the line one person in the world, or is the line that you can find it?
No, the line is like Avraham Cohen wrote, "Muskamach Chevratid." What's the consensus that you find among Shomer Torah mitzvahs? If it's outside that consensus, a consensus by that doesn't mean unanimity. Consensus means consensus. If it's something that's outside the consensus, so far outside that no one does it, like the case I mentioned, the bareheadedness, the pilegesh, the no weight between meat and milk, then you see you're outside the consensus.